Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. It seems that more and more people are listening to the podcast, and for that I am flattered and honored. If you like what you hear each week, or even just in a few episodes here and there, and you'd like some personalized attention, or you think that someone you care about could benefit, let me know. 2 weeks ago, someone who I've known off and on for a good number of years decided that based on my podcast, I had a unique perspective that could help her through a difficult time. In a way, I was more flattered by that than if it had been a stranger, because it was almost as if the podcast had convinced her that I wasn't just, you know, that guy that seems chill and talks to me at house parties. Now I was someone who had an expertise that your standard, well-intentioned friend probably can't match. For someone developing a small business with an extremely low barrier to entry, that felt like a major victory to me. I bring this up for two reasons. One, because I hope you all listening out there might feel encouraged by that and decide it's worth your time and a little money to make some real positive changes in your life. I mean, after all, why else are you listening to this right now if not to glean some insight into making your life better? And the second reason is because I like to be an example as much as possible. I'm far from perfect, but when I can use my own life to illustrate how cause and effect works, I will. I did that in my honesty and bullying episodes, and I'm doing it again here. Aside from this podcast being a bit of a marketing tool, I also wanted to use it to document the trials and tribulations of becoming an entrepreneur. And probably more than any other endeavor in life, entrepreneurship is going to test your principles and your self-esteem to the max. I know it's already pushed me way outside my comfort zones, and continues to do so almost every day. But as I slowly grow small successes into larger ones, hopefully I can report to you all listening along the way, you know, every few weeks, and in a small way say, hey, check it out. What you want is possible if you have the mental tools and the right attitude. I know that's pretty cliche, but right now I'm in the middle of that cliche, so hopefully that takes some of the cheesiness out of it. Okay, on to this week's question. It reads, I volunteer for a good cause that I care deeply about, and to which I am personally tied. However, there's another woman in the program that runs the Facebook group who is a die-hard feminist and an extreme liberal. She avoids me in person, so ordinarily I wouldn't care, but she takes every opportunity to inject her politics into the online portion of our volunteer work, which has nothing to do with feminism or anything similar. I try to be nice and ignore it, but it has gotten to the point where she insists that because I'm a strong-willed, productive woman myself, I must support her and her feminist man-hating. I feel like I'd almost rather work alone. How do I handle this situation? Alright, so there's a lot of interesting things going on here. The larger question is essentially, is it productive or even possible to work with people of an opposing political view? But interestingly, I would argue that in order to answer that question, you have to answer the more specific question of, well, which political view are we talking about? Now here, I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm personally neither one of those, and I find those distinctions unhelpful. And if I'm being honest, a little naive. Whether someone is Democrat or Republican tells you almost nothing about them, because both parties stand for almost nothing. They don't really have foundational principles, so it's like saying I stand for the color blue. You know, that tells you nothing. But the word politics more generally means, how do people relate to one another, and in turn, how does their government relate to them? So it always helps to get the principles. You listed some of them out, very feminist and very liberal. I think we can all imagine the type immediately upon hearing that, but let me break that down a little so it doesn't sound like I'm basing what I'm about to say on some, you know, mindless prejudice. Progressivism, which in its modern form started around the 1910s, is built on the foundational principle of altruism. Essentially, everyone is their brother's keeper. And unlike the Christian churches before it, which used donations and social pressure to advance the idea of altruism, at least in the United States, progressivism uses government force in the form of taxation. Now, why does any of this matter? Because knowing the principle of a philosophy tells you much about the person adopting it. At their core, progressives believe that human beings need to be forced to be good, that they aren't that way naturally, and if they could just do as their betters tell them, we can achieve a utopia. If you listen to episode 14, which is my discussion on misanthropy, you'll understand why that's such a devastating viewpoint. Someone that views other people as less than themselves can't help but to become bitter and resentful of them. Not only that, but those subhumans are standing between her and the glorious utopia she's been striving for. Now, let me stop here and explain a slight wrinkle in the equation. I could say very similar things about the people on the right as well, but there's one very important difference. Religious people already have a utopia, and it's called heaven. They don't require the rest of the world to validate their heaven. It simply exists, independent of other people's thoughts or actions. Progressives, on the other hand, are denied their utopia because of everyone around them. Now, if you believed that, wouldn't you be bitter and resentful to those around you too? Wouldn't you view them as selfish and evil? Why don't they see how great it would be if we took all the money and land and distributed it to the less fortunate? It would feel so good. And there is the crux of the matter. Almost every episode I come back to this truism. Something that starts with emotion, that puts feelings in the driver's seat, is going to eventually crash you into the metaphorical brick wall, especially if it means relying on other people to change their behavior to suit your whims. That path leaves you with no control of yourself or your emotions, and with a whole lot of nasty disdain for other people. In fact, they eventually cease to be people and merely become malicious obstacles to your happiness. Oh, but then here comes the feminism added on top. Now, quick note, as I mentioned in my unearned guilt episode, I'm talking about the social justice version of feminism. Feminism that seeks equal rights for women under the law? Well, two things. No one in their right mind disagrees with that goal, especially in America. And also, hip hip hooray, the struggle is over. Women do have equal rights as men in this country. So time to pack it in, you know? The battle's been won, right? Not so for the social justice warriors. Extending off of the progressive feelings train, modern social justice feminists, and I'll just call them feminists from now on because everyone fits the equal rights definition, so it's a silly distinction. But modern feminists take that progressive bitterness towards other people and go one step further. They think of themselves as victims. So what do you get when you view other people as selfish, evil impediments to your utopia and those same people are oppressors who victimize you on a daily basis? You get the kind of person described in this question. Hates men for being men, hates women who don't join their feminism, viewing them as, you know, gender traitors, and hates everyone in general for not caring enough about the poor, the downtrodden, etc. And of course, as I detailed in the Unearned Guilt episode, you can never care enough. There's always more to sacrifice. That imaginary debt can never be repaid. Alright, so that was a whole lot of explanation with very little actual advice, so do forgive me, questioner, but I think it's very important to understand the circumstances fully. Unlike the person you described, we should all endeavor to understand each other, warts and all. Even when I hear someone declaring some truly evil concepts, I always try to see things from their point of view. I always try to keep them human in my mind. Not for their benefit, but for my own. The moment I start viewing my intellectual adversaries as subhuman, I become no better than them. So that's my first bit of advice. Don't dehumanize someone with whom you vehemently disagree, even on fundamental issues. It will only lead to those gross feelings of bitterness and resentment, and that certainly won't help anything. Now, what can you do about this? The first thing I would do is to see if you can achieve the same goals in a different way. I gather in talking to you a little about this, you don't view that as possible to do. Okay, so ultimately, if you must work with her, the most you can hope to do is rehumanize yourself in her eyes, while simultaneously not lying or misrepresenting what you actually believe. First off, I would try very hard to talk to her in person. I know you said she avoids you, but sending her messages over Facebook is dangerous because it's so easy to misinterpret things. And it sounds like she might go out of her way to intentionally misinterpret you if you start being assertive. So, assuming you can get her alone and in a corner somewhere at some point, which is also important, don't call her out in front of people. It would just make her feel like you attacked and humiliated her on purpose. So privately, I would just lay out where you come from, emphasize that you both care deeply about the cause you're volunteering for. I mean, it's volunteer work after all, so at the very least, she can't claim you're trying to get rich off of the backs of poor people or whatever. As for the rest of it, if it were me, I would calmly, rationally explain that you think it hurts group cohesion when she brings her personal politics into the work. Your approach should be one of, look, if this group is fragmented or at odds with itself, we're less effective in achieving our goals. Is our goal to promote liberal feminism, or is it to help our stated cause? It's one or the other, and we have to pick one. As always, you want to put the ball in the other person's court because it gives them a sense of control, and you want them to feel that. Browbeating her will only serve to reinforce her inner victimhood narrative and will force her to double down on all of her nonsense principles, especially in relation to you. So make her the big boss, give her the keys, and say, hey, you decide which direction we're going in. Now, of course, she may come back with, well, why can't we do both? To which I would answer, if that's what we're about now, then that's altering the conditions upon which I joined. It would force me to reevaluate things. And it would, because as much as you probably don't want to imagine a scenario where this woman drives you away from the thing you care about, it must always be an option. You may not be able to achieve the same level of success outside the group, but if the group now stands for something that you can't morally support, then it's kind of a moot point. To make an extreme example, if the KKK was really great at feeding the homeless, but only the white homeless, it doesn't matter how effective they are. They represent something that you cannot support. And who knows, maybe lots of people feel the same way as you and would join you in starting your own parallel volunteering program. I mean, don't bank on it, of course, but it's not outside the realm of possibility, especially if you talk to the other people about it as well. Not in like a, you know, let's all gang up on her kind of way, but more in like a, I'm having issues with so-and-so, I'm not sure how much longer I can put up with this. Don't seek to convince or convert, but just, you know, let people know where you stand and see how they respond. Sadly, you aren't going to change her. All you can really do is extend a plea to her, saying, look, you're making this more acrimonious than it needs to be. Can we please just do what we said we were going to do? She'll either hear that and agree, or she'll die on that hill. But you're right in the implication that ignoring it forever is no solution. Alright, well, hopefully that gave you a place to start. And at the very least, I hope that my breakdown of the psychology that underrides these philosophies was helpful. Like I said, we should always seek to understand other people, even when in understanding we pity them. It's a shame when pity comes into it, but it's a hell of a lot better than bitterness. Pity can always find redemption, given enough willingness. And P.S., to those who may be thinking that I'm being super hard on liberals and letting, you know, hyper-religious conservatives off the hook, please feel free to apply everything I just said to them as well. My only bias is in favor of the individual. I hold no allegiance to any tribe or collective. All I care about is individual people achieving, thriving, living happy lives. Victimhood mentality, altruistic self-sacrifice, unearned guilt, these all come from groups of people seeking to control individuals. So in this supposed battle between left versus right, I abstain. I don't have a dog in that fight. The only dogs I care about are myself, my loved ones, and now, my clients. So with that, until next week, thank you for listening.